Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Giants, well, they got smoked 31-13 today at a snowy Meadowlands Stadium. Also, in New Jersey, a lot of crazy goings on. A week ago, I was on the air here complaining, whining, telling you all that that Rutgers was not going to sign Greg Schiano. And a week later, well, everything's changed. To make sense out of all this, I wanted to call in the expert on putrid losing football, the man who covers a lot of losses, Ryan Dunleavy from the New York Post. Hey, Ryan, how are you?
Good. I think that with Rutgers, I'm right in contention, but Neil Best of Newsday is over the season, actually. So he might be a bigger loser than I am.
I saw that on Twitter, on social media, is that Neil said he has covered 19 straight losses, losing football games, which is hard to do. Giants and Jets games. He's covered 19 straight losses, and I think
my Rutgers and Giants beat writer record is something like 60 games under 500 now, so that's pretty close.
All right, let's start with Rutgers. We'll get to the Giants in a moment, but obviously it's rare when Rutgers is actually a big story. You know, we're such a pro sports town, we always talk about that, but they are a huge story right now with what happened with Schiano. And have you, in all your years of covering sports, have you ever seen a situation here where, you know, the fan base, to me, the thing that comes to mind is, I guess, when Tennessee tried to hire Greg Schiano and the fans revolted against that and he didn't get the job there. And here we are now, I guess, you know, what is it, a year or so later, and there's a revolt and the fans here absolutely do not accept when Rutgers administration is moving on. How did this happen?
That's a great parallel right there, is that he didn't get a job because of a fan revolt, and he got one because of a fan revolt. And I guess the only thing I could think of close to it in New York sports this century would be when fans didn't like the way Eli Manning was treated, and they revolted and basically got him reinstated as the quarterback.
And that was, you know, handled poorly, whether it was a right decision to move on from Eli or not. It was handled so poorly that it kind of tied John Mara and you know, it tied the front office's hands on that. You're absolutely right. You know,
here's what happened with Greg, Lori. The Board of Governors, Robert Barchi, the university president, Pat Hobbs, they didn't like his list of demands, his list of requests for the job last week, so they started moving in another direction. And when it got out that they started moving in another direction, the fans revolted, Joe season ticket holder revolted, the politicians in New Jersey revolted, and really, the big money donors revolted. And in big money college NCAA sports, especially at a revenue-starved school like Rutgers, money talks, power talks. And basically, the people got their wish. They got Greg Schiano. Greg Schiano was always willing to go back to the table because Greg Schiano is a smart man, and Greg Schiano realizes there aren't a lot of places that are hiring him as a head coach after the Tennessee debacle, after walking away from the Patriots as defensive coordinator. Rutgers was his shot, and he knew it, and it took Rutgers too long to realize he was their best shot, and they kind of embarrassed themselves, as they often do.
So now, you wrote a story that's in Monday's Post. What will be Greg Schiano's biggest challenge in this job?
There's a long list. Recruit. I mean, they have the 96th ranked recruiting class right now. He's got to recruit. He's got to hit the grad transfer market to get players who can start for next year's team. He's got to build a staff that coaches respect. He's got to find the right quarterback and the right offensive coordinator. He's got to help them build the facilities that he demands they have. Well, he's got to go out and help fundraise because he's put the AD now, Pat Hobbs, in a really tough position with donors who are now angry with Pat Hobbs for not getting this Schiano deal done. So now Schiano has to help Hobbs by going out there with him and showing a united front and helping raise money. If you're asking me one thing that he's got to do right away, I think he's got to improve the talent. I think he's got to flip a recruit. I think he's got to land some grad transfer kids. Rutgers is so far away from competing with Indiana and Maryland, let alone Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And so given that, you know, it's fair to say that Rutgers, from a talent standpoint, from a facility standpoint, and from the disconnect, the gap between a program and the rest of their conference with the Big Ten, Rutgers may be in the worst situation in the country. And so what's fair in terms of realistic? When should people be expecting to see some sort of results from this hire? Are we talking 3 years? Are we talking, you know, 4 years, 2 years? When is it fair to start judging the on-field product at all?
That's a good question. I would tell you this. I would say within 3 years, it's fair to start thinking of Rutgers as like a team who can win, you know, Big Ten games, maybe pull an upset, maybe if they have the schedule break the right way, non-conference, get to 5 or maybe 6 wins, like maybe playing in a bowl in 5 wins. And then look, there's a reason Greg Schiano got an 8-year contract. That's wild in college sports to get an 8-year contract. But they're not going to fire him, Lori. So what's the difference? They could have given him a 15-year contract. They're not firing Greg Schiano. He's the only guy who's ever had any success there ever. So probably within 6 years, I would think they're hoping to have their best possible Big Ten outcome. Like an 8-4 in 6 years would be the ultimate sign that they hit a home run. But bowl, 3 to 4 years.
I was there, dating myself a little bit on this, but I was there working for WCTC, when Greg Schiano took Rutgers to that first bowl game. It was the second bowl game, the first under Schiano, and it was, you know, the Insight Bowl out there in Arizona, and you know, even to get to that point, I think that was, it might have been his fifth year.
It was his fourth year.
Was it his fourth? I'm just saying, it took a while, is my point, is you just, you know, even there was a lot more conversation coming into that year. I remember he was on the hot seat, and there was conversation that if this wasn't the year that, it's time to, you know, to move on or whatever. But I think it's going to be a similar thing here where people should not be expecting, you know, the goal here, instead of, you know, national titles or the goal here is respectability and mediocrity. And I don't
Correct.
Think, and I think that they are, you know, that to me is really more like 4 years away.
Yes, I think it's 3 to 4 years. You can make a really strong case that he came into the worst Power 5 program in the country in 2000. And it took Miami and Virginia Tech and Boston College leaving the Big Ten.
Leaving the Big East.
For Rutgers to get good. Well, Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State are not leaving the Big Ten. So he's going to have to find a way to beat good teams. But that's a good problem for Rutgers. Like, the knock on Schiano used to be he couldn't beat good teams. If they're in a situation where he's competing with good teams and making a coaching decision that costs them a game, that's a huge win.
All right. Talking to Ryan Dunleavy from the New York Post. Let's flip to the Giants, who lost their 8th game in a row. And Pat Shurmur told us afterwards in his post-game presser that, you know, you, the media, you only see the team for 20 minutes. There's some sort of progress happening. Tell me, make the case, if Shurmur was trying to lobby for his job, what progress, help him out, what progress is this team making?
I guess it's that behind-the-scenes progress that I don't ever see. It's really hard to make a case. Look, here's the progress. Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones looks like a bona fide NFL starting quarterback. He doesn't look like Patrick Mahomes or Deshaun Watson or whoever, but he looks like a bona fide starting NFL quarterback.
But let me ask you this, Ryan. I agree with you. I think Daniel Jones is showing enough. But here's my point on that, or here's my question on that, is he looked like a bona fide starting quarterback in the preseason games we saw, and he looked like a bona fide starting quarterback the first time the Giants started him. So it doesn't look like, it looks like a lot of that is a credit more to, is it fair to say that's a credit to his college coach, David Cutcliffe, for teaching him fundamentals, as opposed to what is Pat Shurmur teaching him?
That's a good question, actually. That's a really good question, Laurie. I can't, the NFL game's different, so I can't give all the credit to David Cutcliffe.
Sure.
I think, you know, he wasn't having a ton of success at Duke. So if David Cutcliffe obviously prepared him, but he wasn't having, his team at Duke, relatively speaking, was one of the worst in the ACC.
Mm-hmm.
The Giants, relatively speaking, are probably even worse than Duke was on the ACC scale. So the fact that he's playing as good as he is, I think, is a credit to Shurmur. Look, the one thing we knew about Shurmur was that he could coach a quarterback,
mm-hmm.
and that's the one, that's literally, there's two things he's done well here, and it's the two things he was brought here to do. Coach the quarterbacks and keep the team together like an adult from separating. And those were literally the only two things I could say he's done well.
So how much of this season and where the Giants are at, because clearly the talent, you know, for all we can say about Shurmur and the in-game adjustments, or we're not seeing the progress, we don't see these young players getting better, all of that, we see problems with coaching. But how much of this is on Dave Gettleman as the GM, and is there any chance that after the season, if this team goes 2-14 and is, you know, embarrassed as a 2-14 team, first or second pick in the draft, a lot of cap space, any chance that the famously patient John Mara would try and keep the coach and GM on schedule together and also let Gettleman go?
I'll give you two different questions there. If you've read anything I've written at the Post or before that at NJ.com, you know that I strongly feel that it's mostly on Gettleman. I mean, James Betcher's getting scapegoated. I don't think Shurmur's done a good job. Betcher's young players on defense haven't really gotten better, so you can blame him for that. But there's not talent on this team. This is one of the least talented rosters in the NFL. That's on the GM. He came here. He had Jason Pierre-Paul, Olivier Vernon, Odell Beckham, Landon Collins. Who is the best player on the Giants' defense? I ask around the NFL. People want to tell me it's Leonard Williams. He had his first tackle for a loss in 11 games today. If you're a really good player, you have more than one tackle for a loss. Is it Janoris Jenkins? He only looks like he's trying about half the time, but he makes plays at least. Teams are afraid of him at least. They don't throw at him all the time. Dexter Lawrence, well, he's got talent, but that's a projection. I mean, I don't even know who their good player is. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's mostly on Dave. Yeah, I would put the arrow mostly at Dave Gettleman. And then to answer your second question, yes, I do think the Giants like to keep things on schedule. Do I think they would fire Dave Gettleman at 2-14? I think it would be a strong consideration to do something very Giants-like and move him into, like, senior advisor to the owner, where he's not canned, but something like they tried to do with Tom Coughlin, that Tom Coughlin wanted no part of.
I think a lot of Giants would be thrilled. Giants fans would be thrilled with that if they could get to that. Saquon Barkley, a little better, obviously, on Sunday because he had been, you know, awful before that. But it seems like he's become an ordinary running back this season. And we've all been a little afraid to say that because he's such a good guy and he had so much talent last year. How much of this is Saquon Barkley actually should just be better, and how much of this is, you know, the offensive line, the play calling, everything else?
Here's what I like about Saquon Barkley. In a world of professional athletes, including some in the Giants locker room this year and last year, he is not running from the idea that he needs to be better. He's not looking to blame anybody else. He's put it on himself like a captain should. And I do think of some of it's on him, but I also think a good amount of it. Look, he was injured. I'm sure he's still feeling the effects of it, no matter how vehemently he denies it. The offensive line has not been good. I think he's missing the fact that they don't have an Odell Beckham downfield receiver to teams are stacking the box. I think there's a million things that go into it. The way defenses are playing is totally revolved around him, which last year it was not as good as he was. I think there's a lot of things that go into it. Yeah, he's not been the same player, but I don't think that means the end of Saquon Barkley. Like, I would not be surprised if next year he came back and had a year just like his rookie year. I think this year is just for a million different reasons. Mostly, I think the blocking and the defensive schemes and the coaching, he does not. It's just a lost year.
All right. The king of I guess if we're going to give it to Neil Best, then I guess you're the prince. The prince of
the
bad football.
The jester of bad football.
The jester, Ryan Dunleavy from The Post. Appreciate the time. Catch up with you soon.
Thanks, Lori.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.